I am the one, the one. Your redemption is done. The price has been paid. A place is being made. I'm preparing it now for when you come. When your work is done, trust and obey on this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 22. We are continuing with the series, He is I Am. And today we're going to find out, we're going to find your place of provision. Amen? Last week we found our place of peace. This week we're going to find our place of provision. Did you know that God is a provider? Amen. He is. He's a father. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. Okay? And I wrote down some questions here. And the question is, can God provide? The answer is yes. Some people might ask, will God provide for me? The answer is yes. How does God provide? I like these words. Supernaturally, abundantly, lavishly, fully, completely, and amazingly. If you've ever experienced provision from God, it's always more than you think. Because He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And here's some questions for us. Can I trust God wholeheartedly, completely, and without reservation? Can I believe that God is able to provide and desires to provide for me? Not only is He able, but He desires to. Amen? Okay? Am I willing to do whatever God says, no matter what? Amen? Those are some questions that we need to answer within ourselves. And in Genesis 22, we're going to read to verse 14, and then we're going to talk about it, okay? But we'll read it first. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of you, which I will tell you of. Then Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Abraham took the wool, the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, and seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Those two words, it's a compound name, Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord shall provide. It means he sees ahead. He knows what you're going to need, and he has it ready for you when you get there. It means to see. You know, a provider is a supplier. A provider is a source. A provider is a contributor. A provider is a giver. To provide is the action of providing or supplying something to use. It is the amount or thing supplied. How many know we have an electric supplier, don't we? They supply electric to our homes, right? And so Abraham needed a lamb, okay? And God showed me some principles of provision in this story. How many of you know those principles? I want you to believe God will provide for you. Say, God will provide for me because God loves me. Say it again. Say, God will provide for me because God loves me. And really, that's what we need to know. You know, this word provide, it means to see, to appear, to behold, to consider. Okay? So, let's look at this story here and let's find out some principles of provision so you can trust God to provide for you. All right? Number one, provision comes when you're present for duty, able to discern God's voice, and ready to serve. In verse 1, God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham said, Here I am. Abraham was able to recognize God's voice. So if God, when God is going to provide for you, he's going to speak to you. How many know that God's sheep know his voice? If you're a sheep of God, if you've been born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you're his sheep. And being his sheep, being his child, you have the ability to hear his voice. You are tuned in because you've got him on the inside of you. When he's on the inside of you, you're tuned into his channel. And wherever you are, in whatever state you are, God can get your attention. Are you listening? Are you listening for his voice? So provision comes when you're present for duty. Okay? Abraham was there, wasn't he? He was there where God spoke. He was in a place, he was in a position to hear God's voice. You know, the further we get away from God, the harder it is to hear his voice. Did you know that your conscience is the voice of God speaking to you? And how many have done something wrong knowing that it was wrong, right? There was a little voice on the inside of you, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that, but you wanted to do it anyway, right? You disregarded that voice on the inside. And you went ahead and did it. Now, it becomes a little bit harder then to hear that voice. Eventually, someone can get so hard that they can't hear their conscience anymore. Okay? Now, provision comes when you're present for duty. How many know that God will provide to those who show up? Amen? So you're here today, so God's going to provide for you. What's He going to provide? He's going to provide revelation. He's going to provide insight. He's going to provide help. Okay? And you're able to discern God's voice, and you're ready to serve. When Abraham said, "Here am I," he was in a position that would say, "Okay, God, whatever you say, I'm willing to do." Right? I'll never forget when I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to do for my life. My prayer was, "Father, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be." That was my prayer. And then after praying that prayer, it was like a quarter. You know when you put a quarter into something and you hear it go clunk, right? That's kind of what God did for me. God's word went right into my heart. It went clunk. And He showed me the step to take. It was amazing. Right? So number one, provision comes when you're present for duty, able to discern God's voice, and ready to serve. Number two, provision is directly connected to your obedience. Before, I'm getting ahead of myself. Abraham was given an instruction to do, wasn't he? He was told something to do before God's provision came. Your obedience is directly connected with provision. You know what provision is? That means God's provision. He will provide for provision. When you have a vision, God will, He's for it, so He'll provide for the, so it's called provision, right? Because in order for you to have provision, it requires you to see some things. If you're not obedient to instructions, little instructions. Now, this was not the first thing that God spoke to Abraham, right? If you go back to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, God said to Abraham, "I want you to leave your house, leave your family, and leave your homeland." Instruction. Then He said, "I will bless you. I will make your name great." Promise. Provision. First the instruction, then the promise of provision. Amen? So your obedience is directly, everybody say directly, connected to your provision. Obedience produces provision for your life. Disobedience, I mean, God doesn't want to support disobedience, right? He said to obey is better than what? Than to sacrifice. God values obedience. And He will test us. He'll give us a little instruction. He might give you an instruction that is, "Wait, sacrifice your son? What are you talking about?" But it's an instruction. Are you willing to do what God said no matter what? See, sometimes the things that God says, they don't make sense to our brain. Sometimes the thing that God says is not logical. The man who was lame, Jesus said, "Pick up your mat and walk." Instruction. He heard the instruction. He believed it. What did that man do? He couldn't walk, but yet the instruction was to walk because the Word was telling him what to do. Let me tell you something. The Word will tell you to do the impossible. So your provision is directly connected to your obedience. Instructions precede provisions. They precede. Okay? Number three, instruction precedes provision. Provision follows instruction. God will always give us an instruction. What did He tell His disciples to do to get ready for the Passover? He said, "Go to this man, tell him that the master needs this room," and it was ready. They had to follow that instruction, right? And then came the provision. He had communion with the Master. Instruction, provision will never precede instruction. It'll always follow instruction. Amen? God gave Abraham an instruction before the provision came, didn't it? Take now your son, your only son Isaac. Now, that's a pretty awesome instruction. But you know what? Abraham had a pattern in his life. God would speak to him. He would do what God said, and God's blessing would come. God would speak to him. He would do what God said, and the blessing would come. God would speak to him. He would do what God said, and the blessing would come. That was a pattern in Abraham's life. You can follow it all the way through from Genesis 12 to 22. Now, doesn't mean that Abraham was always right. Doesn't mean that he always, sometimes he missed it. But when he was obedient, the blessing, the provision would come. So he developed trust in God by obeying God in little things. Now God was asking him for a big thing. But how many know when your faith is built up, you can handle big things? Amen? I've been going to the gym at least once a week. And I've noticed that my ability to lift more weight has increased. Why? Because I was lifting little weights. And as I'm faithful in lifting little weights, it becomes easier to lift bigger weights. Why? Because I had that development. So Abraham had developed with his walk with God to this point where he could find his place of provision. And how many know, if Abraham can find his place of provision, so can you. Amen? Say, provision is not impossible. Okay? Number four. All right? God instructed Abraham to give what he couldn't see, what he could see to whom he couldn't see. Take your son and offer him to God. You take the visible and you give it to the invisible. Okay? If you want God to provide for you, he may ask you for something. He may ask you for something valuable. Hey, Peter, you're not going to catch fish anymore. I'm going to train you to catch men. Peter, Jesus was asking Peter to give him his life, wasn't he? Did Peter catch men? He learned how to catch men, didn't he? Why? Because he hung out with the master catcher. And he went, God took this fisherman who was not educated, who was rough around the edges, made him into an apostle. He provided for him. Okay? So, provision involves giving. You will give what you can see into what you can't see, and that takes faith. Right? But watch what God does when you give him that gift. What did the little boy see when Jesus needed to, 5,000, how many ever had 5,000 people show up for dinner? Right? I mean, we probably wouldn't have a pot. Well, maybe the military. I don't know. But you got 5,000 people. Jesus was preaching. These people were following him. They were going where he went, and he noticed they hadn't eaten. And he told his disciples, he said, you feed them. Huh? How are we going to do that? We don't have anything. Well, I could go and buy all this food, but one apostle said, look, there's a little boy here with, what was it, 2 loaves, 5 fish, or 5 loaves, 2 fish, I don't know. Fish. It was a two-piece fish dinner, right? What did he do with that 2 pieces of fish, that fish dinner? He gave it into the master. He gave what he saw, right, into Jesus' hands, and then what happened when he did that? It multiplied, and Jesus was able to provide dinner for at least 15,000 people. Why do you say 15,000? Because the Bible says 5,000 men. You figure it didn't count women and children. Okay? But in order to provide dinner, he had to use something. In order for God to get provision to you, he's going to ask you to give something. In this case, he was asking Abraham to give his son. And look at verse 3. After hearing the request, Abraham slept in. He didn't feel like getting up. Is that what the Bible says? I was just seeing if you're awake. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him. He did not even bat an eye at the request. He was fully confident that God would provide for him no matter what. He knew that if Isaac died, there was going to be a resurrection. He had no problem giving. See, but here's the thing. This was not the first thing that God asked for him to give. Aren't you glad? God will not ask you to give your biggest thing the first time. He will ask you to give an offering. He will tell you to bring your tithe. And then when we do, it will call. Do you realize that when we bring our tithe, then the windows of heaven are opened? What if we don't bring our tithe? They must be closed then. That's what Malachi 3:10 says. All right? Provision means you see something beyond what is in front of you. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Isn't that amazing? He didn't know where he was going. But he went, and God was going to show him as he was going. And afar off, he was able to see the place. I'm sure that God was saying, yeah, that's the place right over there. And he was able to see something that wasn't in front of him. Okay? He was able to see something afar off. Now, Abraham was in his hundreds. He didn't use binoculars. But he was able to see something. How many know? Imagine what we can see when we lift our eyes. He said, lift up your eyes. Where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. You've got to look up, and you've got to be able to see what's not in front of you. You've got to be able to see beyond what's in front of you. God is for visions. Okay? Next thing. Verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come unto you again. Did you know that worship plays a part in your receiving provision from God? Go with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 6. Abraham made this an act of worship. Did you know that our worship is important to God? You know, he is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. He is looking for people who will worship him unashamedly. He's looking for people who will worship him boldly. Amen? Psalm 96 and verse 8. It says, give unto the Lord glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. Did you know that part of our worship is our giving? He's telling us to worship the Lord and bring an offering in the same context. This is what Abraham does. He said, look at me and the lad, we're going to go worship and we're going to come back. That's amazing. Notice what he said, we're going to come back. He didn't say, I'm going to come back. He said, we're going to come. That was a faith statement there. Okay? I don't know if you've ever come to a point in your life when you needed something. How many's ever needed something? You didn't have it, but you needed it. One time, a friend of mine, when I was living in Tennessee, before I was married, they didn't have a car. They needed to go to Miami from Tennessee because they were going to spend the summer there. And I had a car, and I had the time, but I didn't have the provision. I needed money to go. How many know gas costs money? Amen? And so that night, we had our midweek service in Tennessee, and I went up for prayer, and I was believing God for provision. And did you know that that night, I was given an offering of close to $200. And it paid for the trip. I went to Miami and took all my, our car was packed. The person that I was taking, they couldn't drive a stick. So I had to do all the driving. I drove to Miami, slept for about 4 hours, turned around and came back to Tennessee. And we passed Atlanta, and it was a little bit foggy. I remember passing Atlanta. I didn't remember how I got through there or whatever because I was pretty tired at that point. But God provided. I trusted God. I had a need, and God came through. You know, when Fiona and I got married, she lost her job about a month before the wedding. I was working in a Christian school, and the semester was coming to a close at the end of May. We got married in May. I was going to be out of a job in the summer. She was already out of a job. Well, how's this going to work? Did you know what? My job was ending. She lost her job, but we bought a house and got married. Amen? And once again, I needed a job. And I was in church. How many know church is a good place to find provision? Well, there was this guy who had a painting business, small contracting and painting. He had about 10 employees. And he asked me if I needed a job. I said, yes. He said, have you ever painted before? I said, no. So I learned. And but God provided. Okay? This is what I'm trying to get across to you. These are principles of provision. If you look at anywhere God provided, there's always going to be an instruction. God will never provide without giving you an instruction. When the woman needed to pay off her debt, what was the instruction? Go get empty pots. When the woman, when Elijah came to the widow of Zarephath, what was the instruction? Give me the cake first. Right? And then provision came. Listen, God will provide. God wants to provide. God can provide. But the question is, can we trust Him? No matter what. No matter what instruction He gives you. It may be the craziest instruction, but how many know when you follow an instruction from God, it'll work out? Right? Okay. So worship is a part of your receiving provision from God. Provision is connected with faith. Abraham made a faith statement. He said, we're going to go worship and we're coming back. He fully expected Isaac to come back with it. There was no doubt. There was no room for anything else to happen. He knew. He was convinced. He was fully persuaded that Isaac was going to come back with it. How many know? Provision takes faith. You've got to believe God. You've got to believe that He is good. Say, God is good. God is not bad. God is good. God is gracious. God is faithful. God is loving. God is forgiving. Look at the way He provided us for heaven. Is there anything that God forgot about us getting to heaven? Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. You better go back. You didn't finish this. No, when Jesus hung on that cross, He said, it is finished. He provided a way fully for us to come into heaven. Nothing missing. All right? But provision is connected to your faith. Okay, this is a good one. Let me get back to Genesis 22 here. Is this helping someone today? Are you finding your place of provision? The Israelites needed bread. What did God do? He didn't he didn't build a bakery. He rained bread from heaven. Whoa. Do you realize they ate that bread for 40 years? Every day, God would rain bread from heaven. Every day for 40 years. When they needed water, what did he do? He brought water out of a rock. Man, God's got some awesome faucets. When Mary and Joseph needed money to hang out in Egypt for 2 years while they were trying to kill Jesus, God provided gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What do you think that was used for? That was used for their time in Egypt. God fully provided. He provides healing. He provides salvation. He provides needs. Did you know that your Father knows what you have need of before you ask, but he wants you to ask because that shows trust. Have not because you ask not. Oh. Anything that is in God's book is yours. All right. Okay. Provision is connected to following through with instruction number one. You must carry it out to the fullest. Did Abraham carry Isaac halfway? No, he got to the point where he bound him, he laid him on the altar, and he had the knife in his hand. He carried out instruction number one to the fullest before provision came. How many know you can't skip? Now, sometimes God will quicken the process. He will speed up the process, but you cannot skip out of the process. Every Christian will experience this. The Israelites did. John the Baptist did. Even Jesus did. He spent 40 days in the wilderness. Wilderness is a test trust. It's to see whether or not you're going to trust God. And your wilderness can be as quick as you need it to be. For the Israelites, it was 40 years. For Jesus, it was 40 days. But every one of us will go through a wilderness time where we're going to have to trust God no matter what. No matter what. Okay? So you got to carry out instruction number one fully. You got to carry it out to its fullest. Okay? Verse 10, he took the knife to slay his son. All right? Provision is connected to your ability to hear God's voice and change directions when necessary. Josephus said at this time, Isaac was about 25 years old. Think about that. He could have whooped his father. Couldn't he? But he didn't. Why? He learned how to trust God like his father trusted God. So he willingly went through and allowed himself to be the sacrifice because he know if daddy trusts God, I trust God, it's all going to work out. Amen? He didn't resist. Okay, that's according to Josephus. He was a historian, okay? So provision is connected to your ability to hear God's voice and to change directions when necessary. When Abraham had the knife up, what happened? A voice came from heaven. What did the voice say? Verse 11, Abraham, Abraham, verse 12, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God. See? God will know that you fear him when he sees that you obey him. You can't. To fear God is have reverence and respect and honor for him. Okay? So you've got to be willing to listen and you've got to be willing to change directions when necessary. Right? Abraham had to change directions. Look behind you. What do you see behind you? I see a ram. Did not Abraham say God will provide himself a lamb? He did not only mean that lamb in the thicket. He also meant the lamb to take away the sins of the world. Do you realize what Abraham did, God did? He offered up his son for us to be saved, to be reunited with him, to come into his presence, to be made whole. God not only provided himself a lamb there, but he also provided himself the Lamb of God. He took our place. He took our punishment. So you got to be willing to change directions. Okay, I'm here. Oh, wait a minute. I better change directions. Abraham, yes, I am. You're okay. He put the knife down, and what? God had his attention. Let me tell you something. If you're doing something and God speaks, stop what you're doing and listen. You remember Zechariah? What was Zechariah doing, John's father? He was a priest. His job was to light the incense. What was he doing? He was lighting the incense. He was trimming the wicks, making sure the incense was there in the tabernacle. And then what? An angel showed up to him while he was working. You know, Paul might be under a piece of machinery and an angel just show up right there with him. You know, he's cranking on a wrench and an angel shows up. So here, let me help you with that. Listen, you've got to be willing to allow God to speak to you wherever you are. Amen? And you've got to be willing to go with his direction and change directions. Okay? Almost done. So the angel said, "Now I know that you fear and rever God." He said, "You have not withheld your son." Provision is released when you refuse to hold things back from God. He saw how Abraham was not going to withhold anything from God. We get into problems with God when we withhold, when we hold back. This word withhold, it means you to withhold back or to keep back. It means to be dark, withholding light. That's what this word means, withhold. It means to darken, to be black, to be made dark, to cause darkness, to dim. Do you realize when we withhold things from God that he asks of us, we're getting darker and not lighter. We're going more towards the darkness and we're leaving the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He does everything in the light. Everything is open. Everything is available. Everything is accessible. The angel of the Lord, how many know that this was Jesus talking from heaven? He said, "Now I know that you fear God, not because you have not withheld your son." How many things have we withheld from God? How many things have we been unwilling to do that God has spoken to us? Sometimes God speaks through people. He always speaks through his word. He speaks through angels. You know what? God's got multiple ways to communicate to you and I. He knows exactly how to get in touch with you. But yet, people get in trouble because they withhold. God wants you to communicate information, but you withhold the information. And it doesn't get communicated like it should. That's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham didn't communicate to Sarah that God wanted him and her to have a baby. He didn't quite communicate that to her, so then what did she do? She offered Hagar. "Here, why don't you take my maid?" "Okay." Did you know that Abraham didn't resist? He didn't say no? "Okay." But there was something that was he withheld from Sarah, because if he wouldn't have withheld it, that decision wouldn't have been made. Don't withhold from God. Do what God says. No matter how crazy it is, that's where the blessing is. That's where the provision is. That's where the miracle is. So Abraham, provision is released when you refuse to hold back things from God. Then verse 14, he went ahead and offered the ram, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. He found his place of provision. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will see ahead. He'll look what you have need, and he'll have it ready for you when you get there. How many know that we have a Jehovah Jireh? We have a provider. He will provide what you need. He will provide what you want. He will provide what you desire. He doesn't withhold from us when we ask him. He's our provider. That's who he is. That's what he does. It is his nature to provide. Amen? God has provided. He provided for us. He blesses us richly. How many trees could Adam and Eve eat? He said, eat of every tree except one. He said, eat of every tree. How? Freely. They had access to multiple trees. God did not, he only held back one tree from them, but every other tree was fair game. When they sinned, he provided clothes for them. He provided a covering for them. He provided a way of salvation for them. Deuteronomy 2:7 says, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Can you imagine a group of 2 to 3 million people not lacking anything through a wilderness where there's no fast food restaurants, there's no Applebee's, there's no Miss Dottie's Kitchen? Yet they lacked nothing. That's powerful. That's a fact. That's truth. Exodus 16:35, the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land, manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. 40 years God rained bread down from heaven. Everything, for 6 days they could go out and gather the bread. It was enough for them. And on the they gathered twice as much because they couldn't gather any on the seventh day. The prophet told the widow, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. This is 2 Kings 4, 3 through 7. And when you have come in, shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into these empty vessels. And she came and told the man of God and said, go sell the oil, pay off your debt, and live on the rest. Is that an awesome provision? Not only did he pay the debt, but he caused her to live on the rest. God wants your debts paid, and he wants you to be able to live after that. Amen? Why? We have a good God. He's a provider. We have a Jehovah Jireh. He's not a Jehovah liar. He's not a Jehovah slacker. He's not Jehovah little. He's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Psalm 13:6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. 23:1, this is powerful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Really? Why aren't you going to want? Because your shepherd is so good. He gives you the best of the stuff. You've got such a good shepherd. He gives me everything I need, want, and desire. That's why I shall not want. Oh, but Pastor Doug, God only takes care of your needs. Really? Then David lied in Psalm 23:1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall. He didn't say, I shall not need. He said, I shall not want. David knew what he was saying. Listen, when you have God, you don't have to want. He is your portion. He is your supply. He is your source. Listen, your job is not your source. Why? You will retire from your job at one point. God is greater than your job. Work for a giving and trust God for a living. Because when you lose that job, who are you going to rely on? Huh? God said, I'll never leave you nor I'll be in retirement or fireman. Philippians 4:13, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How many needs? All your needs. He is, God, 2 Corinthians 6:8, he is able to do exceeding abundant, or no, he'll give, all grace abounds towards you, that you have all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work. Is that not powerful? How much sufficiency? All sufficiency in how many things? All things, so that you can abound to every good work. Amen? Luke 12:24. Consider the raven. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet your God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? You're more valuable than birds. I've never seen birds in the food line. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. Why? Because there's a provider. First, 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many things? His power grants that. That pertain to all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence. Listen, he'll even prevent you from stumbling. He's your stepping stone, not your stumbling block. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Does every mean every? Every spiritual blessing that you're entitled to is provided for you in Christ Jesus. So if you want the blessing, get in Christ. Our God is a provider. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Is that not awesome? Do we not serve an awesome God? God wants to help you find the place of your provision today. He's provided a way. He'll provide you with clothes. He'll provide you with food. He'll give you money. He gives you purpose. And maybe you're here today, the greatest provision that we need to receive is the way to salvation. It has to be received. Salvation is a free gift. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Doug, I've never asked Jesus into my heart to be Lord over my life, but I would like to. If there's anybody here like that, just raise your hand. I want an opportunity to meet Jesus. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. All right. So we're all born again. That's awesome. But maybe you have a need in your life and you need provision. Well, Jehovah Jireh is here. He wants to provide for you. And if you need prayer in your life for anything, I want to invite you to come up right now and receive from God. He will provide. As you abide, he provides. And he does not lie. Amen? So if you would like prayer for anything, just come on up right now. And I'd love to pray for you. I want you to trust God for your provision. Trust God to supply. I've seen it in my kids' lives. When they have a need, The first thing we do is we pray with our kids. They pray, we agree with them, and it's amazing how God supplies. I've seen it time and time again. I can give you testimony after testimony of how God supplies needs. He really does. He's a provider. And He'll take care of you. Hallelujah. Paul, why don't you come up and help Tony here? We're going to start down here. You believe God will provide? Father, we give you thanks and praise as we release provision.